little fuckers, and welcome to What the Fuck's Up podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Kelly, and the motherfucker. And today I'm not joined by co-fucker. Okay, I don't know if that sounds like we're like co-workers, which is what I meant, or we're fucking, but we'll think on it. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I'll ask Nina. You guys can chip in. But I'm not joined by Nina today because she's currently flying back from Africa. But I do have a little segment from her, and it's super funny and super on brand with today's episode. I'm going to insert it after I do my little half the intro, then she'll do it, and then we'll get to part two with Talia. But it's very, very on brand with today's episode because it literally sounds like she's doing like an audio TikTok throughout the airport. And she's hilarious as per usual. So get ready for that. Also, if you didn't notice, I said that this is part two of the Talia episode. So if you haven't listened to part one, Talia Lichtstein and Spreading Negativity, it's last week's episode, the episode before this, please stop and go back and listen to that first. Otherwise, you're going to be like, what the fuck is going on? Why is this starting mid-conversation? But if you forgot, we were talking about her and some of the guys that slid into her DMs. So yeah, go back and listen if you haven't. So obviously, we're coming off of the July 4th weekend, and a lot of fucked up shit went down. Several shootings, mass shootings. I think we're on like our 309th of this year so far. And that's just, it's mind-blowing, it's horrible. And I wanted to acknowledge that, but I don't want to get too into it since we did last week, and I want this episode to serve as a break. But I do want to say and acknowledge that it's really fucking weird to be celebrating a country that just took away women's fundamental rights and is now still, after all of these shootings, caring more about guns and unborn children than it is its living citizens. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But on that note, I'm going to make a sharp left turn and tell you about one of the highlights of my weekend, which was that one of my friends, who I told her I would not name her for this story, but one of my very good friends, who is originally from New York but not living there right now, was where I was on the beach for a weekend, and we went out together. Before we went to this place, she was telling me all about the guy that she met on like Friday night at this place. She's like, he's so cute. We were kissing, and like, it felt like we were in like a Greek island at this restaurant that was on the water and us kissing, and his name's Polly. I'm like, Polly? And she's like, yeah, like Polly D, aka Jersey Shore, if anyone didn't get that reference. But I was like, huh. But it didn't really register to me much. I was just like, okay, his name's Polly, cool. Thinking he's like very much a Prince Charming type, a little older, maybe very like demure, whatever, because she's describing this place as being like super upscale, nice, on the water, older crowd. So I was like, okay, like, can't wait to meet Polly. We meet Polly the next night, and he is literally Polly D. Like, okay, he's not Polly D, because I know that Polly D, like, is actually a DJ that goes around and people have met, but, like, he's, like, Polly D's, like, twin brother from another mother. I don't know, like, oh my god, I feel so old having said that, but he is wearing a New York fucking city t-shirt. Like, not ironically. He's not wearing it ironically. And a trucker hat that looks like it's, like, Von Dutch. Like, it's fully in that style. And I'm like, I want to say her name so badly. I'm like, let's just say her name's Maria. I'm like, Maria, where did you find this like artifact of 2004? And like, why are you so enamored by him? But at the same time, like, I respect her hustle. I love that she's from New York City, going to places like this and finding guys like this. And she's like, this floats my fucking boat. So basically what I guess I'm trying to get at is, to me, personally, I feel like I witnessed a true all-American love story with the New Yorker and the probably non-New Yorker, maybe New Jersey dude who is wearing a New York fucking city t-shirt.
And that's what America should be about. But I hope you guys all had a good holiday weekend. All jokes aside, here's a few words from Nina and then the part two of our episode with Talia.
Okay, so recording live in the Tanzania airport. I'm kind of whispering. Oh, seriously, right now? Okay, hold on, pause. Back to what we were saying. So I am through security, all the different things, which is weirdly unregulated here, but you know, is what it is. Kind of love it. Definitely said Jumbo to someone I thought lived here. They were American. I'm officially Katie Heron in real life. But yeah, I'm finally headed back to the United States. Really excited to return to the country that took away all my rights while I'm gone. And yeah, just recording. People are looking at me like I am an actual sociopath, or that I work like for a spy agency right now. As Caitlin knows, I love airports because they're like constant content. I tend to only tweet when I'm at airports. Mostly I have my Twitter in case I need to use it for like customer service, let's be honest here. But I'll check back in when I'm in Amsterdam. So checking back in, headed back to all you little fuckers. But I know we have little fuckers all over the place. So really just headed back to the motherland that took away my rights. Also, I should note that the bag that I brought doesn't have wheels and it's so heavy, and I literally fell over in the check bag line, so everyone can enjoy that mental picture because I am just too short, the proportions were wrong, and it, yeah, that's where I'm at. Yeah. Oh, and also to make this flight really fun, I had a cold like a week and a half ago, and so I have this like annoying lingering cough. I cough like once every 10 hours maybe, but this flight I guarantee you I'm gonna cough on it, and people are gonna be like, she's gotta go. They might sacrifice me on the plane. So also kind of some food for thought, like, did you ever look at those large ass airplanes and be like, there's just no way it's gonna make it into the air? Like, I know I was a physics major, I understand it, but this thing is so heavy, to me I'm just like, no, it can't. Also, to get you hyped about this part two of Talia's episode, my dad literally called me and was like, this girl is so fucking funny. I followed her and I completely agree. That video is hilarious. Guys should not wear flip-flops. So if my dad says it, I think we all stand behind my dad. Like, Talia's the best. So get pumped for the rest of this episode. All right, that's all I have for you guys. You guys are probably like, Caitlin's listening to this before she's putting it in the episode, and all the little fuckers are listening to this being like, Nina has lost her mind, and you're probably not wrong. Okay, signing off.
Guys, I'm going to need all the travel lovers out there to listen the fuck up, because today I'm here to tell you about something that's going to change the game. I don't care if you're planning a trip, on a trip, or just daydreaming about being in Positano with a hot Italian man on one side and your Aperol spritz you're drinking on the other. Is this me? Maybe. Today, we're here to tell you about Well Traveled. Nina's actually a longtime user and member, so Nina, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, you guys, I am so excited about this. I couldn't be more thrilled that we are going to be partnering with them. I have seen this company really come from the ground up, and it is so amazing. This is perfect for everyone that you're trying to find the coolest restaurants, hotels, places to stay, the aesthetics, the vibe, all the different things. Like, I'm one of those people that literally would scour websites like Eater, Thrillist, Infatuation, like all these different ones, just to find the coolest places to go to dinner and whatever, anywhere that I was traveling. And this is literally all of that just in one place.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know about you guys, but between study abroad when I was younger and then like just traveling now, I have all these Google Docs flying around, and it's so much nicer to have them all in one place and organized and pretty.
It's amazing. And you can create like new lists. I have a Paris list. I have a New York list. I have a New York I want to try, like a New York date list, all these different ones. And it's so fun.
I love that. I mean, that's such a good idea. Think about New York City or all these other big cities. There are new places popping up all the time. Be a tourist in your own city. Explore somewhere new.
Also, the whole website is so aesthetically pleasing. Like, for my type A girlies out there, this site
super type A
is the greatest thing you've ever seen. And also, the coolest thing is I literally will sit there and plan an entire trip based off of recommendations. And then I find out that they're like also partnered. So by being a member, I get like chocolate covered strawberries on my hotel bed.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
amazing. So guys, please go check it out. Make your list, get the best recommendations from Well-Traveled. You can go now to welltraveledclub.com. We'll have the link in the episode description. And if you use code WTFSUP, that's WTFSUP, you can get $30 off your first year of membership,
which is huge.
And to pay for a year of like recommendations and some of their partnership perks.
Yeah.
I think it's a no-brainer. Yep. Jinx. So guys, go check it out and back to the episode.
My whole life is not exactly what I put on the TikTok. And these men would be like, I'll help you find an apartment. So I had like four real estate agents just being like, baby, like for free. And then we'll go to dinner. Like, always these older men. But the one date that I went on from somebody DMing me went really well. And it was a guy who DMed me, asked me to go to a music festival. And I ended up going. And we still know each other and we hang out. Whenever he's in New York, we hook up. Like, he's really cute.
Oh my God. That's so great. Which festival?
Austin City Limits.
Oh, I've heard that one
too. It was so fun. Yeah. He flew me to Texas. It was such a good time.
Wait, that's so cool.
And he was the nicest guy. Like, I had the greatest time. He's like such a genuine person.
That's amazing.
I know.
How did he slide in that like worked?
I need to be safe, but I am very stupid. So I've done this a couple times, like trying to meet guys online, and I decided this time I would be smart about it. So he said, I have this job that allows me to go to these different large scale events and I can take whoever I want. I've taken most of my friends to these things. So I figured, why not take someone that I see on TikTok all the time? I think is like fun and cool. And I thought, okay, fair, but I need more. But like, are you going to kill me?
Are you going to murder me?
He's like, I have plenty of, he sent me videos of his female friends giving like testimonials about him.
That's actually really cute.
He was like, hi, tall. Like those videos were like, hi, Talia. I'm friends with blah, blah, blah. And he's like the best. Here's one thing that he did for me. I'm like, okay, but like Ted Bundy had friends too. Like, what's the difference? And he's like, got it. Okay. So he sends me a PowerPoint presentation and it was just all of his hobbies, God. Like his whole life story, where he went to school and what he does now, and all these pictures of him and just like everything about him. And I still was like, Ted Bundy had like a life too and went to school, whatever. And
you're like, Ted Bundy would have made a PowerPoint if it existed. Ted Bundy would have
done this too. And he was like, you know what? Like, you've already shared you've shared your location with everybody. You've told everybody what you're doing, where you're going, my full name. Everybody knows where you're going to be in a way. This is safer than if I were to just take you on a date in your own city, because you wouldn't bother to tell everybody about that.
True. There wouldn't be receipts, like a literal flight.
He will never get away with this if he tries to hurt me, because my family is like expecting me back at this day and they know exactly who I'm with and what hotel I'm staying at. So he can't hurt me. Mm-hmm. So I FaceTimed him a couple of times and he was lovely. And I just decided like, fuck it. Okay. And if I have friends in Austin, so if it is weird and awkward, I'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah, run away.
So... Wow, it worked
out. Awesome. That's a success story if I've ever heard one.
That's true.
I am.
But so with dating in general, how have you like found dating in New York City versus like, I don't know, being out of college? It's just very different. Like, how are you liking it so far? What do you say?
Well, I'm learning about dating in New York City. At the same time, I'm learning about dating outside of college. It's been only a year.
Yeah, I know. I realized that as I was asking. Yeah. It's kind of multi-pronged, because dating outside of college is very different. Like a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. Yeah. Like, college was so easy. You wanted to meet somebody. Easy. They lived within a 1 mile radius of you. Everyone is 18 to 24.
Yep. Yep.
And you have automatically a bunch of stuff in common to talk about, because you live in the same place and do all the same things for most of the day.
And they're like vetted by the fact that you have
like references.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have mutual friends and, you know, like, okay, they're smart. They're in college, like whatever. So it's different. I haven't been, it's so funny. I think people really do think of me as like a dating influencer and a person who dates a lot. And I don't. And I don't go on a lot of dates. I've been very committed to building like community here and building a home for myself and decorating my apartment and like making these videos. And I just I just haven't logged on to Hinge in a really long time. I haven't, like, if I do go on a date, it's a guy that I met out the one day a week that I went out. I'm kind of a hermit. And I think that's because I was up until now kind of getting settled, not really like interested in doing anything that wasn't content and like something funny that would grow my thing. But now I'm so comfortable at where I am in my career. It's the first time that I've ever looked at my life and been like, I would be benefited by a boyfriend right now. I think that a steady relationship would actually really help me and be like a cool thing for me. Yeah. Whereas any other time in my life, up until literally this 1 year mark of being on the internet, I would say, no, I think that would be a major distraction. I think right now it would be pretty good for me. So I guess like now is the time that I'm starting to date seriously and like not just go on dates and be like, okay, maybe I'll sleep with him or maybe I will never see him again. Now there's going to be like multiple dates and I don't know. How have you found it?
That's like, exciting.
I know.
I go through phases. Like sometimes I'm like, let's do Hinge. And sometimes I'm like, I'm never even thinking about opening it. I'm busy. Fuck men. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just depends. But I don't know. I just love hearing about all of it because, like, as you were saying, it's going to be different talking to you in person versus, like, what you're, like, putting on your videos where you're trying to be funny and, like, talk about your dating stories. Like, I love that you're not constantly going on dates. It's like, let's, like, talk about the real talk.
And people get mad. They're like, oh, well, it's fake. Like, a lot of the things you're talking about are made up and the guys that you're seeing. I'm like, I never said it wasn't fucking fake. Like, I never said it was real. When you watch TV, are you going to write the director and be like, hey, this is scripted. Like, Girls isn't real. Like, what do you mean Lena Dunham isn't really? Like, no. Like, it's everything. Like, content is always somewhat fake.
Yeah.
And, like, you're just, I don't know. It can be inspired by real life, or some people can say it's completely real life. It never is.
It's amazing how quick people are to think things are real. Like, I posted a video that was like, when all the seeds that you've planted like finally hit or whatever, and literally the amount of people that came out of the woodworks and they were like, is this about like, because I also have been like blatantly planting seeds with one guy for like 7 years.
Did everyone including me say him?
Most people did. That's lot of people did. And then a lot of people were just like, oh my God, who's this about? Like, we're talking like family, like stand-up community, all this. And I was like, it's about no one. Like, it was a video. I was like,
you're
oh my God.
It was an idea.
And they were like,
my nephew's birthday party or like whatever, 3-year-old cousin or something. Everyone, as soon as I walked in, was like, who was that guy from last night? Like, my whole family. They watch my TikTok. And I'm like, there wasn't one. I did that as an ad, like for some like company. Like, what do you mean? And they're like, oh, you made that up. Like, because I said I had woken up at a guy's house that morning. And it was not true. I just don't, I can't believe people are surprised though. Cause it's like, it is my authentic personality. And like my beliefs are real. I say everything I mean, but if I have to make an ad and the people have asked me to do it in my voice and do a story, tell a story, I'm going to make whatever up. Like, I don't, and I never said that I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah.
So
I was thinking about that too before when you were talking about like stand up versus what you do. It's like, it's literally like film versus being on stage. Like, it's still funny. Maybe you're going to do it a few takes, but you know, it's still an art form for sure. Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to move on to quarter life qualms, which is where we talk about being in your 20s specifically. Oh my God.
Honestly, it gorgeous. Like blends really well.
I know. We're just, sorry, we're talking about my sweat stains.
Yep, I have them too.
Yeah, sure. It's really bad.
Cute.
Anyway, okay, sorry.
It's really hot. Really, we're schwitzing really, a lot.
Yeah.
We really are. Okay, so the first question is, what is something that you've gone through in your 20s that's helped shape the person who you are today?
I mean, well, there's good thing and there's bad things. There's good thing and there's bad thing. What am I? I, of course, like this beginning of the career and this whole year that I've had has shaped what I hope the rest of my 20s will look like. It's provided a great solid foundation and it's been very happy. So I'm very fortunate that like my transition from college into adult life was so, it matched up so much with like what my ideal dreams would be, and it really was wonderful. But it was also like the hardest year of my life, and I think that having like I've honestly, not to get too dark, but I've witnessed a lot of death of loved ones, and especially this year, and more so than like most people my age have, I think. And I think that it's given me this new perspective on life that I don't think a lot of my friends my age have. And I really do see life as like very fleeting, and like not, I'm not the type of person who's like, we're on a floating rock. I fucking hate that. I never say like, oh, life is short. Do whatever. Like, no, I want to have a plan and like everything. I'm not saying that every day, I'm not going to live every day like it's my last. Cause no, cause I have fucking taxes. Like, I'm not just gonna like walk out of here and like go travel the world. I don't choose to believe that everything's going to end tomorrow, But I do have a newfound appreciation for like the people in my life may not be there forever, and I must value my relationships. I must be present and like be I feel like I've seen the worst of what life has to offer. Like I've seen the worst part of being a human, and no matter what happens, nothing will ever be that bad.
Yeah.
So I kind of am like, I have a strength that I think a lot of my friends haven't developed yet who are my age, because they fortunately haven't seen what I've seen. So I think that that's something that's like, I've had this really wonderful year that was success at a very young age, but also I've gone through hardships at a very young age. So it's just a balance, and it's really changed me for the better and for worse maybe, but yeah.
No, that was really beautifully said.
Yeah.
Thanks. Sorry to bring down energy.
It's funny because we were talking about the question today, and I normally have it phrased as like, what's one of the most difficult things you went through in your 20s? I changed it to kind of like make it either way, and I loved how you showed both sides of it. Because part of this podcast is like talking about mental health and like normalizing things. I think you even speaking to that when it's something that's tough and like people try to act like it's never gonna happen, like I love it. Like, I don't know.
I agree.
I don't love that you went through it, but I love that you have that kind of perspective. You know?
And I like how you described it as like it's a thing that people think they're never going to have. I don't
people
know
just
what
walk
it is
around
about.
Like that.
Tragedy.
Yeah.
People think, and we see it so often now, look at all these school shootings and stuff. The number one thing all these parents have to say is like, you think it's not going to happen to your kid, and then it does. Everyone thinks they're immune until it happens to them. So I think that's a belief that this these terrible things that have happened have brought me, is like, we all are, like, everyone has their own life going on. We are all just as able to experience bad things as the next person. Nobody's like unlucky. You're just a person, and everyone has a thing that they're dealing with. So I think that's what's changed my perspective, is like, I don't believe that I'm immune to bad things happening to me. And I think that, I don't know, I just like live my life with that in mind.
Definitely changes perspective. We can talk about this off the pod too, but I've experienced like a lot of death too, and like to the point that my parents had said like, nobody experiences this at this age. And you know, like looking at the brighter side of it, it really does make me like value every relationship like very deeply, and like life and just my experiences and, you know, things that I do and that kind of thing. So definitely, like, you know, that's the good side of the coin of it. So
And I will say, like, as your friend, you are very, like, you were talking about presence, like present and thoughtful, and you'll just do like sweet little things that I'm like too lazy to think of. And I'm like, damn, maybe if I had this kind of perspective, or like started to like wake up to that kind of way of seeing the world, I would do those things more. So this is me making a pledge to be better.
Okay, so number two, kind of a different tone. What's something about adulting that you find annoying?
Where to start?
I just think you're expected to like deal with things in a mature way, and to have like unfiltered rage is no longer acceptable. I hate that I can't, I was never a tantrum throwing kid. I was a pretty mature kid in that sense. I dealt with like being disappointed. It didn't manifest in that way. And for some reason now as an adult, maybe it's all coming out now and I suppressed it for my whole childhood. I'm a tantrum throwing adult, and like, I hate that I can't just like flop on the floor and kick things in the middle of like Chelsea Market. Like I want to like really make a scene, and I can't. And a kid could, but I can't. So something that pisses me off is like, I don't know, why can't I just like walk around all day and be like the Curb version of Larry David, where he's like saying everything? Like, nobody can do that. He would be shunned from society. Just the, like, I just don't know why I can't do that as an adult. But like, as a kid, until you're like 16, everyone writes everything off as like, she's figuring it out, you know?
Yeah,
I like, can't,
it's hormones.
Yeah, no, why don't I have like I want to have a third puberty or second puberty or whatever the fuck. Just like, I just want to like I want to go through a terrible transition phase again where I'm excused from my behavior. I just hate that I'm expected to act mature. In addition to that, I don't
Point number two.
I'm crying. Of course, hate like having to do things by myself. That I every time I'm like, I have to install the air conditioner. I have to like pay my taxes. Every time these things happen, I'm like, I'm a baby. Like, why are you asking?
I'm a baby.
Have you seen Broad City?
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. Yes, I always think of that.
Yes. Fred Armisen.
I can't clean because I'm a baby.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. I'm a baby.
I'm a
like,
baby.
I don't know. Like, I
that is one of my favorite.
Hanging, like,
I know it's
a
like the first one,
babe.
But it's so like, good. Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah. How could someone expect me to do that? Oh. I literally was graduating high school a second ago. not even like in college. You're such a baby because your parents, like, I was very fortunate. My parents would, like, funnel me the money for, they're like, we'll pay for the food on your plate, yeah. And the house above your head, like, that's, mm-hmm. Or the roof above your head. So a year ago, like, I literally had someone just, like, pay my rent. Like, I never had to worry about that. And now it's, like, completely the opposite. Like, I'm completely on my own.
Yeah.
It's too fast of a transition.
It really
is. Yeah, there's no gradual.
I'm the oldest one here by far, and I still think it was too fast of a transition. Yeah. I'm still trying to throw tantrums. It's hilarious you said that, because I literally talked about that on our episode coming out today. I was like, why can't we just, I'm like, I'm jealous of kids on the street. I'm like, I want to just start sobbing on the street.
Yeah.
Not that I haven't. It's New York City. You
right.
can kind of
do
that. I want to like
it.
Wail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to like cause a scene.
And nobody looks in the same direction when a kid does that. Like a kid can literally in the middle of the grocery store, just
literally
flop on the floor and be like, that's all I want to do. I don't know. Today at the store, I'm like, these people. Oh no, it was yesterday, and there's a huge line for whatever is going on.
Yeah.
And it was like ice cream or something. And there's only one person working, and everyone in line is frustrated. And then I'm finally second in line, and the person in front of me is like, can I try? Blah, blah, blah.
You're like,
can
absolutely
you try?
Not.
And it wasn't even like a weird flavor. She's like, can I try the chocolate? Bitch,
it's
you
chocolate.
Know what
you know
chocolate
exactly
tastes
what that tastes
like.
Like.
It is so rude to me to see a line of people behind you and think, I need to try. I need this luxury of trying. Mm-mm. Like, make a
the
decision.
Lack of self-awareness.
No self-awareness at all. In that situation, a kid, if they expressed, they felt that type of rage that I was feeling, they would throw themselves on the
floor. They would have literally been on the ground.
You know what I did is I turned and I walked out and I left and I made a scene out of it. I was just like,
oh my God.
I go, like, I just like made it. And I left and I just kind of like, shit. It was one of those doors that you can't slam because it like slowly closes.
Oh,
and you're
no.
like, but I like,
and you're
waited.
Like
I like really
it.
Tried to shut it hard.
It's like moving in slow motion.
And that was the closest thing to a tangent. And again, somebody who follows me on TikTok, in all the odds are they were in there. Like there was 100 people in there. One person probably does follow me. And I just act like nobody does. Like I act like nobody's going to see me be a fucking baby.
Normalize
and I
being
so
normal.
Much more.
It
even
honestly
when you have
sounds
really
really
follows.
Funny. Like I feel like that was your personal like curb moment.
Yeah.
You know?
I have them every day, but they're... Well, that's if you listen to what Larry says about how he comes up with these episodes, it's how he feels inside.
Yep.
But he doesn't act that way in public, which is the reason he probably has friends. I really am trying and I don't know how he does it. And he's genius and he has probably more of these thoughts than I do. He picks up on little annoying things more than I do.
Yeah.
But oh my God, like I don't know how he keeps it inside because more people recognize him. He really can't express it. I probably could. And oh my God, it like pains me. Like I'm shaking sometimes with how upset I am. Oh my
but
God.
But it's good. You have TikTok. You have your outlet.
No, it's true.
I do have my
outlet.
And everyone can see it. Like for example, you released beautiful knowledge on how to handle the airport.
Thanks.
And, yeah. And I, Caitlin knows I'm so passionate about the airport like
me
all
too.
The time.
I have to say, I'm not just saying this, both the like, you know, what was it again? The Parade of Idiots? Or
the Idiot Parade.
Idiot Parade. Parade of Idiots.
That took off for some reason.
That is something I've always thought about. But more so for me, I was watching like through your videos today to prepare, you know, and whatever. But the one where people will rush into line to board, that really confuses me. I'm like, why do you want to stand there? I mean, both of them, you're just standing forever. But like with that one, I really don't get it. Like the idea, like, first class boards first, okay, like then you're staying on the plane for longer,
right?
Like, I don't want to be
I
on
know
a plane.
I liked how they
I
did
don't
it
want
in COVID
to be on the plane.
Like I liked in COVID how it was reversed. It was like back of the plane to the front.
Yeah,
so I'm like, that makes sense.
Then people aren't like falling over each other
exactly
and looking at people in first class with envy and you know, all the
it's so awkward walking by the first class people. I would never want to be in their seat either because you're just kind of like looking at all these peasants walking by you. It's so awkward. I don't know why they don't put them in the back of the plane and then put them on first
for
why
privacy.
Exactly. And why is it, first of all, you like, I don't want, to me, first class is not being on the plane longer. Like, I just don't know why I'd want to.
Unless you have one of those planes where it's like actually like one of those huge planes, you know, where the first class goes to the left, you don't even see it.
Yeah,
you don't
that's,
even, and they're already having champagne. I'm like, fine. That's nice. That whatever. It's like a double ticket. Fine.
That's one thing I really do want to experience in this life. Like, I just want to do that once.
Yeah, just a little champagne moment on
and
the plane.
Not just like stupid first class, like flying to New York, LA first class. Like,
yeah, no. Like international.
I want like going
travel.
To Dubai.
Yeah, I was gonna say those ones are always the ones I see on TV.
Like crazy
and
rich Asians while they're like sitting there. I want to like fuck in my little pod bed.
Yeah, there you go.
So into it. Okay, so the last question for the core life qualm part is, what is something that you do for yourself when you're stressed or going through a difficult period?
I'm a big isolator when I'm at all stressed or dealing with something. Like, I to be around other people really doesn't, it doesn't distract me. It makes me very anxious that I'm wasting time, like even if it's something that I can't control, the worry I'm having, there's a crisis and there's nothing I can do about it. To be with my friends doesn't alleviate my stress. It makes me feel like, oh, I'm not being a good friend because my mind is here right now. I should be at home sitting and just staring at a wall. And to me, I like to sit and stare at the wall. Like, I don't want anyone to, I'm it's a problem that my parents have always said it's really bad. I don't seek help. I don't ask for any help, or I don't accept help. But I think I've gotten a little bit better about knowing when to ask for it, but I haven't, to me, I've not gotten to a place where I'm not talking about like, yeah, you're depressed, go ask for help, but more if there's a brief crisis or something, I've never asked for advice. I don't ask for advice because I do believe that I know what's best. And
that's
smart.
Don't think
that anybody has
a lot of
advice.
People who ask for advice in those situations, though, already know the answer they want to hear.
Oh yeah, you're like, you can tell whatever you're gonna say.
They just want to talk.
They want validation,
and that's fine. Yeah. My friends can call me up and say, "Can I just like tell you what I'm gonna do about this?" Or they can. I know when my friends mean when they're asking me for advice.
Yeah.
Mm. Oftentimes, I don't even get the chance to give the advice. They are just talking. I know what that means.
Yeah.
But like, for example, I will always remember this. This was years ago. My friend asked me if she should start looking into like taking a different track in college to go towards grad school, or if she should graduate on time. And this was a big major decision that would change the next 3 years for her and the trajectory, like after college. This would put off her the life that she had planned for another 2 years. This is a major, major life change. And it also has to do with how you're spending your money and what your finances look like and if this makes sense for your parents and whatever. And she asked me, she was like, "What should I do?" I go, "Are you fucking crazy?" It started a huge fight. I'm like, "What do you mean? You can text me and be like, do you like the red shirt or the blue shirt?"
Yeah, or like, should I go out with this guy again?
Not even. To me, that's also like, I know. I don't know how the date went. You know how the date went. Yep. But fine, sure. Bounce that off me so you can talk about it. That's fine. What do you want me to say to, should you
like
spend another $100,000 and put your life off 2 more years, or should you do that? This will change the trajectory of your life. Like, this will change where you're most likely to meet your husband, or what city you end up in, or what you do as a career.
Really.
Yeah. It's like,
it's everything advice.
It's everything. And if I give you the answer that you don't want, then it's always going to be awkward because you chose what I didn't say to do. I can never give somebody advice on a major life decision like that. How could they ask me, why don't you know yourself well enough to know?
To go stare at a wall and make the
figure
decision.
Yes, like, honestly. Like, those kind of decisions. It's like, you can't put that pressure on somebody else.
I've never had that type of decision. I've never put myself in that position because I've always, like, known the vibe.
Wait, also, what did you study in college?
Media studies.
Okay, that makes sense.
I, like, knew kind of the direction. I thought either it would be, like, this type of thing where I'd be like the entertainer, or I'd be, I don't know, maybe a writer, a producer. I'd work in this realm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was never going to be in the, I don't get how people land themselves in the position of like, am I going to be a doctor or a writer? Like, how the fuck?
Yeah. It's like, how are those
the
options?
Is the decision like that?
Yeah.
Oh, like, that's so weird to me that
you
can have so many different facets of your personality.
Although your major.
Are you like
okay.
That?
Well, my major is weird, but I always knew I was going to be
what
like performing.
Was yours?
So I double majored in physics and acting.
That's insane. insane.
You see, isn't that crazy to me? Insane. I'm like, how do both sides of your brain work?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I also, though, like, went in and I declared both of those, like, before I got there. Like, I was like, I know this is what I want to study.
Yeah.
Half of physics became, like, I was proving a point that a girl could graduate with a physics degree because they were not great about it.
So amazing.
But it's funny because, like, people were always like, oh, what are you going to do with physics? And I was like, oh, I'm going to perform.
But, okay, but see how you knew?
Yeah, like, that was never...
You knew what you were going to do. Yeah. You did the physics. To me, that's something I really admire, is I wish that I had more interests that were very broad. My hobbies became, like, my career.
Yeah.
If someone asked me, like, what are your interests? I'm like, I like watching comedy, and I also like to do the little videos. Like, that's my whole life.
Well, that's the thing. But that shows that what you're doing, you, like, really love.
Yes,
like,
I
you
love
have
one
to
thing.
Have outside interests. Like, yeah. You are interested
but
in what
I do
doing.
Wish that I had more across the board interests. Even my other, like, my hobby, I love musical theater. That's still, like, kind of the same vibe. It's the
but
same
I
realm.
Love that you love musical theater.
Thank you. Yeah. I love it too. But it's just like.
Do you hate certain shows though?
Yes.
Okay,
of course.
Good. Okay.
I know every musical. I've seen every musical. Yeah. I hate a lot of them. But the fact I think my brain thinks in one way. I'm a humanities person.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to do both is insane to me.
It
but
is.
You did know that you weren't
like
going
I've
to end up in
physics. I've always been like, you know, and, right. and even with the reason I loved physics was like the mindset of it. And so that was more in like, this would get boring really fast if I really got into it. But basically, but it's funny because people are always like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, truly, like even people in, you know, like all different realms are like, what in the world? And honestly, I just was like, I mean, luckily I have great parents that had just been like, do what you love. And I was like, great. These are the two things that I love. And that's what I'll do. And comedy came kind of out of nowhere, but it was just like what I liked.
Right.
And that's what I went with. But yeah, I'm like, I can't imagine, like I was never sitting at a crossroads being like, should I go to med school
right.
or tell jokes?
That's insane to me that somebody could be at that crossroads.
Yeah.
Like to have multiple interests is something I think is amazing and I wish I had that.
Totally.
But to have multiple interests that you could take either way as the rest of your life, like to be
I'm also
deciding.
Just, like, so indecisive. Like, oh my God, you know, that's like, oh my gosh, like to say that I don't, first of all, I don't know how to text a boy at, you know, this age, because like I'll literally sit there and be like, my poor friend Natalie the other day literally woke up to a text of me being like, should I say this? No, wait, I kind of like your option. No, I should say this. It was like the easiest response, but I'm like, I will literally go over something like that for debatably a day.
Oh, I hate that.
And because I just like can't make a decision. But then in terms of like big life decisions, I guess those have been made a little bit easier. I was like, New York, that seems like a good idea. And then I was like, comedy full time seems like a good idea. And then I was like, that doesn't make enough money. We'll throw something else in there.
Right.
But like, yeah, it's the big things are good. It's the little things for me. I'm like, I can't decide like what to eat for dinner a lot. Yeah.
I'm very decisive.
That's a really
that's a good quality.
I don't know. I think I'm pretty decisive about the big things and mostly decisive about the little things, unless I do something like what I did this weekend, which is get drunk, open Hinge for the first time in forever, and respond to this guy. You give me gentle giant vibes. That is what I said to him. He goes, thanks. I think you're right, but should
tall?
I be insulted? Yeah, I guess he was like really tall. He was like 6'5". I was like, gentle giant? And he's like, what? I'm like, that was weird.
That shouldn't be insulting for
yeah,
someone.
Yeah, that's a very
that's
nice thing.
So compliment. Nice. But you always want to insult a little bit.
But after that, I was like, you got to keep them humble.
Reality
but,
check.
But after that, I was like, maybe I should think before I send things. Like, that's maybe we'll try that now. So.
My go-to is, hey, ugly. I love saying that.
Hey, ugly. I love
hey, ugly.
That's amazing.
You know who taught me that?
Who?
Katie, the girl who made the list.
Oh my gosh.
She
that's
always starts
so
the conversation
funny.
That way. I think
I
it's so
that.
Funny.
No.
She identified like icks that I didn't even
know
for myself. And
she
I was
unlocked
like, so
new icks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a legend.
Yeah.
Okay. So to end off, we're going to play a game that we invented just for you.
Oh my God.
We're really excited about
it.
Oh
my God, we are excited about it. So basically, since you are so decisive, that's why we picked this for you. We're going to read out some things and you're going to say why it's a fuck yes or a fuck no. Right?
Okay.
Just like we love it or we absolutely hate it. Got no in between. Okay. First one. I'm going to make this one the first one instead.
Okay. Yeah, that's funny.
Getting fingered.
Fuck yes.
Nice.
For me,
that's
I just...
Good.
Have you ever been badly fingered, though?
Of course, but it's not
it's
as bad as getting badly eaten out.
That's true.
I hate the feeling of a tongue. I hate wetness.
You don't like being emo?
I have a lot of friends that don't. I have a lot of friends that like, they're, it like grosses them out.
I'm so the opposite.
I'm the opposite, like, but I will say, I
hate it.
I'm like, now that, I don't know. I really could, I can't think of which one's worse if they're bad.
Yeah, I guess I've never had a guy be like,
have you ever had like the jackhammer though?
Oh. Yeah, no, oh, I can't.
I mean, you have to kind of show him, but I something about it just like, I like the intimacy of it as well. Unless if I really don't like the guy, he can eat me out because then he's like far away from me. You know what I mean? And I can still enjoy it. If he's good at it, I'll still I'll find a way to enjoy it. It's just what I really like is when they're like, or if I like the guy, our faces are close together. We're like having this intimate moment and his hand is down there and I can like move his hand in a way that like, I'll show him what to do and he'll pick up on it usually. Mm-hmm. They're good at like picking up if you show them. But if you can't move their head and show them. You have to tell them with your mouth, hey, do this or do that with your mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't really take that as well. But if you move their hand, they can do it.
That's true.
You have to, you just have to like, you know, put padding on it, like make you a compliment. Like, I loved, that.
And then they like slip and you're like.
And you're like that.
So talking to a man in general. You sandwich it between two compliments.
I feel like I've never had like a bad eating out. I've just had a really like anticlimactic one where I'm like,
I've had one that was so bad and the guy kept. It was so weird to me because it was like he said, this is my specialty. This is my
He did not.
Like, he was like, this is my favorite thing to do. I love it so much. It's my favorite sexual anything. He loved it. And he couldn't do it. And he was
That's tough. That is tragic.
That's like probably because no one's ever told him. Like, when you lead up with
I know. And it's also my fault because I just kind of like let him think that it was fine.
Well, it you can't so like ruin bad. His dreams like that.
I get nervous to ruin someone's dreams. Yeah. I had a guy once be like, right after he was like, so like, what would you rate that 1 to 10? In my head, I was like,
first of all, why did he say that?
Why did he ask? You saying that, immediate ick.
If he asks me, I'm going to tell the truth. If he doesn't ask me, then I'll usually keep it to myself.
I think I stuttered and I was like, 5. In my head, it was a 2, but I was like, he was like,
you gave him a 5?
Yeah.
What did he say?
And he was like, so there's room for improvement. I was like, absolutely. And I was like, and I believe you could do it. And I was like, please never call me again.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was so bad. Cheers. Okay, next one. Okay, men trying to split the check for the first date.
You're like, yeah, what the fuck? That's so, it's like the same vibes as a guy being like,
If you want feminism, why can't I hit a girl? Like, okay, it's just like so dumb. If you want feminism, why do I have to pay for everything?
Like, why are you broke? Like, you wouldn't have a problem with it if you weren't broke. That's my thing.
I love when guys try to make like things that would just be nice to do like a sexism issue. Oh, yeah. Like,
it's so weird, but to me, as long as they're so it's what it's a fuck no or whatever. No. Okay. Just don't split the bill with them. And if they ask to do it, split it with them, but never see them again.
Yeah.
Because it's just weird. And I had a guy that I hooked up with like once months ago, but then we were kind of platonic and I went to this wedding with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, okay, well, since we're going platonically, and I don't know if he like really knew it was going to be platonic, but I did.
Yeah.
I said, please split the hotel room with me and split, you know, if you give her a gift, like split it with me. He split every single thing we did the entire weekend
down
to the cent. Every Uber we took, the hotel that we didn't end up staying at, food that I didn't end up
eating. You didn't even stay at the hotel?
We ended up staying at a friend's house, so we only had to pay a portion of what we were going to pay for the hotel, and he still split it with me down to the cent. The Uber from the place to the wedding, which was $5, split down to the cent. Everything.
Oh,
and
that.
To me, he took it too far because I opened the door for him to say that. It's sort of like when a girl puts down her credit card, which you shouldn't do, by the way, and then the guy takes.
I know, I've learned that the hard way. My friends were like, what are you, you have no business don't taking you know. Your
My dad
card
literally
out.
Was like, you just sit there.
Yeah,
just
sit literally there. Sit there.
Okay. It's so awkward. Just so don't do awkward, it. Yeah. But so I opened the door for him to do that because I thought it would be nice, and then he charged me for everything. So I made fun of him for it. I paid him, but I made a lot of fun of him for
it. As you should have.
And he just didn't really get it. And all my friends, you know, Venmo, you can see what people are Venmoing you. They I told like, all my friends the story, and all my friends started Venmo requesting me for the same things that he did and like making it the caption.
Oh, my God.
So you could scroll and see it. And he was like, what the fuck? Like, why are you telling everyone that? I'm like, so boys, just this is the point of this long story. Yeah. If you split the check with a girl or if you Uber or if you Venmo request her down to the cent for anything, just it's know annoying. That even if we pay
you will
for it,
never get your dick sucked.
You will be known for that forever. You'll be known as like small dick energy, broke boy, like
broke boy
guy
energy,
who's like
huge.
Begging for money. Like it's just you will be the joke. And even if it's not completely wrong, you are accepting in that moment that the girl is going to make fun of you and you're going to have a reputation amongst that community of
friends. Because it's so easy to not do. I mean, because even my guy friends, like I invited a guy friend to a wedding and love him to death, horrible date, but like one of my best friends, but couldn't have been a worse date. But he at least like paid for my drinks because I invited him as my guest, and like when we went out to bars after and stuff like that. And it's just like it's so easy. And like even the guy that I hooked up with, I won't say his name, but like he knows who he is, but he, like the first night we had hooked up, we had all been out at drinks with a big group, and he like split it with everyone, but he didn't split it with me. Right. Like he just like paid for my portion, and I was like, that was just such a like just nice, but also like kind of standard, but like nice thing to do.
Doesn't it because make you like more attractive?
It's
to
just like
it made me so much more
thing.
Like
it's chivalry.
No, it's
like I was like, that is so nice.
Yeah,
like,
it makes you more attractive.
Like I would have obviously paid for it. Like we just randomly hooked up. It wasn't a date, whatever. But it was like such a nice thing that I was like, wow. And then I hooked up with him again.
Yeah, of course so. You did.
Well, I think what happens is like these guys get, I don't know, like hardened or something by being like in the city and going on all these dates, and maybe it doesn't go anywhere and I'm paying money for it or whatever. But this is the thing, like women have to deal with a lot of other shit. If you're gonna pay for the first meal and you're making, what is it, like a dollar to our cent or whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
I'm not remembering the exact number. Like that's exactly what it is. But like, just shut up. And then on top of that, I don't like, I always say this and I think I always knew this, but like it wasn't until I'd had like two dates, split it on the first date that it really hit me. It's like, they are never gonna get better than the first date.
No.
Like, they're never gonna improve. Maybe they'll improve in the sense of, like, you know, you like them more or whatever, but in terms of, like, chivalry and respect and how they're treating you, if they're supposed to be, like, doing something nice on the first date, they're not gonna be doing it on, like, the fourth date. They're setting the tone, and the tone is, we split everything exactly down the middle, like, and I'll Venmo you for everything till the end.
Right.
Like, I don't like that.
And that's a good tip. The first date sets the tone for the whole relationship.
It does.
He will never get better than that or treat you better than he does in the first date. Yeah. So
it won't. Okay. The next one we are doing is setting up. This is an interesting one for you because this could really go either way, I think. Setting up self-timer or tripods in public for photos or TikTok.
Fuck no. Absolutely not.
That's what I thought.
That it, absolutely not. That's all. That's all. Why would you do that? I don't care what people on the street think, but I just would never make a video that required that.
Yeah.
It's like, it reminds me of Addison Rae at Earth Cafe. Have you seen that video of her propping up her camera and these people coming behind her?
Oh, I've seen that.
And they go, hey, can we get a photo? She's like, yeah, just one sec. And then she does the dance really quick and then she's.
No, like, she doesn't.
It's the most cringy thing you've ever seen in your life.
I just don't know why somebody would have to set up a camera.
Yeah.
I think it looks so much more natural. Maybe it's just my brand. I don't know. I like to just hold the fucking phone like I'm FaceTiming and talk like that. Why would you set it up? Also, I never have a cute outfit on, so I'm never trying to like show it off. But maybe if you're a fashion blogger, you do that. But for me, it's a fuck no.
Yeah.
I love it.
I would agree.
I agree 100%.
Okay, next one, morning sex.
Okay, well, fuck yes if you really like them. If you
I agree with that.
Don't,
if you
like,
really
like them, it's so disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Their breath is so bad. Mm-hmm. It's just so gross. Like, oh, I hate when things – I hate having sex in light. I hate when you can see everything. I hate when it's bright. And if there's blackout curtains, that's one thing also. But –
then it's basically night.
If you have, like, even the smallest bit in your mind, like, I don't know if I fully am into them – it's gross. It's just really gross. Again, it's like eating eggs. Like, it's a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and
like
it just
you think
the
about it a little too hard. Yeah.
You think about it too hard.
Like, you don't
want
to see it.
Yeah.
But if you really like, I plan to have a lot of morning sex with my future husband that I love because it will be fun and I love him.
Yeah.
But like a random guy, no.
I think when you're dating someone, like, you're totally right.
Yeah.
It can be nice. And this is why. Because you're at the point in the relationship. hasn't been in a relationship in years. not trying to brag. But you're at the point in the relationship where after you eat like a heavy dinner out, you're like, I'm so full, I want to die. I don't want to like jump someone's bones and get on top of them and feel it shake around. Right. And then in the morning, you're like, let's quick brush our teeth, quick sex, do it, get on with our day. Like, that's fun.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of any quick sex. Like, I hate when it goes on a really long time.
Me too, which is so funny because guys brag about like, oh, I can go forever. And it's like, okay, but now my vagina is chafed. Literally.
How about you're just really good for 5 minutes? Like, just be really, really good for 5 minutes. And then it's so much better. I don't want 30 minutes of you sucking and then I'm just like sore and bored. I get bored. Boring, especially after you come. Like, you're so run. And usually I come from eating finger, and so like it's over at the beginning for me.
So, you're like, I'm done before we even started.
Before we even start fucking, I'm like out of it. But I can put on the show and I can still enjoy it. Oh, I just need them to like, okay, like, and I hate when guys are like, I was really holding it in, like, try not to. I'm like, no, you should have just let it rip.
You know what you do? You just, you have to be like, oh my God, I want you to come. Yeah, you have to like, you know, have to start asking. Like, encouragement.
As if they've never heard it. Even if they literally have guys condiment. Act like they've never heard that phrase in their life. I'm like, what a beautiful thing.
It's like a magic spell. But even if they have a condom on, I'm like, come inside me. And they immediately. Every single time.
They forget it's on suddenly.
Yeah, and they come actual right magic there. Trip. I don't know what it is. They like love that idea of coming inside you. I'm like, shouldn't that scare you a little bit? Like, you don't know what kind of birth control I'm on. And they just do it. Speaking of that, why are men so fucking stupid with not asking about birth control? I've had guys
that's actually so true.
Why are you not worried about my STDs? Why are you not worried about my birth control? Like, they really not that I have any, but I'm saying, what if I did? And I will ask the guy, go get a condom. And he's like, ugh, like, why? I don't have anything. I'm like, okay, what if I do? You don't know anything about me. But also,
him saying that, you're like, you did that with the last girl, so now I'm scared. Like, clearly you're not really checking your boxes.
Any hesitation to put on a condom, like, now I need one more.
Yeah.
I'm so paranoid.
Now I need one more. I'm dead. I love that. Guys, ladies, this is your rule. Okay. And then, honestly, because we've been going for a while, this has been so fun, but we're going to end with one more question, which is, what is something that our listeners or your fans might otherwise not know about you?
Oh God, I have to choose wisely.
There are real people out there.
Yeah, there's real people. Oh my God. I always forget. Something that I always say, they think I'm mean and I'm not. It's like, it's a shtick. It's how I feel on the inside. Sometimes like I am judgmental of strangers and how they behave, but I would never like brush somebody off in the street. I would never like not say hi to somebody or, so that's something that I guess I'm proud of. The bare minimum is that I'm not mean, and I wish that they knew that. What else? I wish that they knew that everything I post on there is not entirely the truth. Like, in the same vein, I just don't when I need to take a break sometimes, and people tend to get like, why are you not posting? They kind of freak out. We don't get a day off as like a creator. You don't get to take 7 days paid vacation or whatever. I don't have a weekend. Like, I'm not like clocking in to check Slack 9 to 5, but I am every time I open my phone checking work, essentially. So I get very tired and burnt out, and I need to be able to take breaks and also evolve as like a content creator and not create all the same content that you want to see from me. And you're not paying me to see the content.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to you. I wish that you would just like go with it. And if you don't like it, please just scroll away.
Yeah. That's something that's always like, it's so true. It's like, if you don't like it, don't watch it.
Exactly. Nobody's making you watch it. You did not pay me, so I don't owe you what you wanted.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I'm going to decide what I want to post. And I do feel more so than a lot of other creators that I do owe them something because they have given me the platform. But I don't owe them the content that they want from me all the time if I'm not in the mood. Like, they are not paying me. I'm not like a contracted worker. I don't have to do this. I do it because I want to, and I'm very grateful for what they've given me, and I think I've given them a lot of content in return, but I never said they had to stay, and I never said they had to watch. They watch it because they like it and it brings them joy. So I think it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
And I wish that they knew that. And I also wish that people knew I love musical theater. I wish people knew.
She's like, send me for
tickets. I love a lot of things. And people think that I'm so miserable, but I do. I love so much. I love certain foods and musical theater. I love to go to the movies.
I think you should really throw people off and make like a love list.
I know.
Like things you're obsessed with, and everyone's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think people would be very surprised by it. I was thinking, I feel like it would be such a highly anticipated video that I would do it when somebody paid me to. So like a brand would be like, you have to mention this and we'll pay you to make the things
like
I love
one
video.
Of the things you love.
So okay. Maybe I'll do that, but
we're manifesting that into the future too.
Heck yeah.
Talia, this was so fun. I swear to God, this could have been a 3-hour episode.
Dude, you guys. We talk forever.
So fun.
It's because we all jive together. So.
Yeah, let's just fucking hang out. This is so fun.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh my God. Okay, everyone, this is Talia. You know where to follow her, but do you want to say where?
Yeah, it's just Talia Lexine on everything. And the new sex show is Just the Tips.
Which I watched some of it. It's so fun.
Good. I'm glad you like it. Yeah. I want to get to 10K followers, but it's a good time.
Right now.
It's all about, you know, the fingering stuff we talked about.
There it is.
As always, you can follow me at CKNY1213 and the podcast at WTF Sup Pod.
And you can follow me at Nina Barnett. And my TikTok is at Nina Barnett.
Honestly, don't follow me on TikTok. Wait till I get better at it. But follow the podcast too.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.